exciting story is about to unfold. We have two courageous men, one brave, beautiful woman. We have war and intrigue, disaster and destruction, rescue and redemption, and one of the most dramatic conversions recorded in Scripture. Okay, she is among the bad girls of the Bible, but Rahab was bad for a season, not forever. You're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Each weekend we walk through a story of a biblical character. They all have lots to teach us, none more so than our gal we're going to look at today. We're going to be hanging out in the book of Joshua, chapters 2 and 6. And if you're a Bible study kind of person, you love questions and you love going deeper in the Word, I've prepared a simple Bible study, just 6 questions, to go with this study today. You'll find it on LizCurtisHiggs.com and MyFaithRadio.com. Here we go, Joshua 2:1. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies. Honestly, I love the alliteration, secretly sent 2 spies. But I'm curious how else you would send a spy, except secretly. They're also called undercover scouts in another translation, from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. Go look over the land, Joshua said. In other words, go across the river and find out as much as you can about the whole region. These men were on a recon mission, and they're just 2 of them, so, you know, they're not going to do any military action when they get there. The main thing is they check it out and don't get caught. Especially, Joshua tells them, Jericho. I've actually been to Jericho. Maybe you have too. It's more than 800 feet below sea level. It is, in fact, the lowest city in the world and one of the oldest inhabited cities in the world, right near the Jordan River. So these 2 men went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. They lodged there. The truth is, Rahab is called a prostitute or a harlot in every translation. It really comes from 2 words in the Hebrew, woman, whore, a woman who sold the use of her body, the NLV says. We get it. We understand it. In the oldest city, she had the oldest profession. Now, some commentators insist that Rahab was just really an innkeeper. I guess because they can't bear the thought of a prostitute being in the lineage of Christ. But friends, she was. And yes, she had an inn, but for the price of clean sheets, you found a woman between them. I love the fact that God chose this woman as the heroine of our story today. He didn't just settle for a prostitute. He chose this prostitute. I remember meeting a young woman in the Pacific Northwest. She came to a book signing with her 2 little kids in tow. She leaned forward across the book table to look at me and the pain in her eyes. And she said, "Is there any hope for a prostitute?" I took her hands in mine and I said, "Oh, there's more than hope, beloved. There is life everlasting." In fact, Jesus told the chief priests and the elders, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you, Matthew 21:31. You see, Jesus loves the bad girls, hung out with them, talked to them, ministered to them, listened to them. And this story is proof of how much God is in the redemption business. Well, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Well, maybe the spies weren't quite as secretive as they thought, eh? And when the king of Jericho heard this, he sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house. Joshua 2:3. Little sidebar about her house. It was built right at the city gate between the double walls. Archaeologists tell us those walls of Jericho were about 12 to 15 feet apart. So imagine her house tucked in between those walls right at the city gate. So as soon as you came into Jericho, there it was, Rahab's place. What I love about this woman is she is large and in charge. She ignored the command to turn over these men. The Bible tells us in Joshua 2:4, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. So they were spies. They were meant to be hidden, and she hid them. She is aiding and abetting the enemy. Well, why would she do such a thing? We'll find out. She says to the king's men who've come to her demanding to see these two spies, yes, the men came to me. So she began with the truth. But, she says, I did not know where they had come from. Oh, really? But didn't they look like Israelites and didn't they sound like Israelites? Then Rahab continued, at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. Really, it is so not true. Then she goes on and says, I don't know which way they went. I personally think Rahab is having a little fun now. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. The CEB says, hurry, chase after them. The LRV, you remember that one, the Lizzie Revised Version? They went that away. Oh, yeah? I don't know how she kept from smiling. I really don't. Then our storyteller in Joshua 2:6 tells us parenthetically, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the king's men took off. They went down the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, expecting that that's where these two spies had headed. And the city gate was shut behind them. Meanwhile, Rahab was already climbing up to her roof to give these guys an update. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof, Joshua 2:8. So they're hiding under the flax. Now, flax was a plant used to make linen, but here's how it actually worked. They took the flax, they soaked it in stagnant water. Ew. such that it would separate the fibers. And then they laid it out to dry. So you can imagine, there's a reason you do this up on your roof. It would not smell very nice. Soggy plants soaked in stagnant water had to be unpleasant. And these guys are hiding under that flax. No wonder she went up to find them, if only to rescue her house guests. And she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. Wait a minute. How did she know that? I know that the Lord, the one true God, which nobody in Jericho worshipped, the one true God has given this land to you. How could she know that? There is only one explanation, my friends. It's revelation. God has given her a glimpse of his plan, and she has the courage to admit it. She says, a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you, Joshua 2:9. Also translated, everyone in the land is terrified. There are faint hearts everywhere. This country is weak with fear. Well, maybe, but not you, Rahab. You are anything but weak, and you are anything but fearful. By the way, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. And on today's broadcast, spending some time with the bad girls of the Bible with Rahab the harlot. You'll find our Bible study guide for today's message at LizCurtisHiggs.com and MyFaithRadio.com. Got a study guide for you each week just in case that's your thing. Just print it off, all yours. So back to our story. Rahab is with Joshua's spies in Jericho. And she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Yeah, I bet they're still talking about that because we're still talking about that centuries upon centuries later. And she goes on, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. No wonder the people of Jericho were worried. They heard about the splitting of the Red Sea. They heard about the two kings who were completely destroyed. And she says, when we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. It's not your imagination, by the way. Rahab did repeat herself here. This whole melting thing makes me think of the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm melting. Our hearts turn to water, the CEB says. Not one of our men is brave enough to fight you. Our hearts turn to water. We had all the wind knocked out of us, the message says. We get the idea. Now, why is she saying these things to them? Rahab is building up their courage. These two men, only two men, came to this city. You know, their hearts were melting. They had to be scared. And so God had this incredible woman waiting to build them up, to encourage them, to help them see he had gone ahead of them. Now, how do we know that this message has come from the heart of God through the mouth of Rahab? Because of what she says next. Joshua 2:11. This is big. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Can you imagine it? One commentator said, she knows power when she sees it. Yes, indeed. For the Lord, only one, your God, acknowledging who they believe, is God. He's the one in heaven above and on the earth below. It is her confession of faith 34 centuries ago on a night full of fear and wonder in old Jericho. Here is our Rahab the prostitute making a confession of faith. Wow. And she goes right on and makes a very brave request. Now then, she says, after having said that incredible statement, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Joshua 2:12 and 13. So first mention of a family. And a big family, apparently, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them. So we've got kids and everybody else here. But this is what makes Rahab a true heroine to me. She is thinking of others instead of herself. You know, if Rahab was on the Titanic, I do believe she would have been one of those who stayed on deck and loaded people into lifeboats. She's that kind of heroine, thinking of others, not simply of herself. The two spies are so enthusiastic in their response to her. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her, Joshua 2:14. The ESV says, our life for yours, even to death! Exclamation point. And you know, there is no exclamation point, no punctuation like that in Hebrew here in the Old Testament, or for that matter, in Greek in the New Testament. So when you see an exclamation point in the Bible, in our English translations, that's the translator's way of making absolutely sure you get the enthusiasm, the emphasis behind these words, our lives for your lives. Now, they do make a stipulation, and that's only fair, if you don't tell what we are doing. CJB says, provided you don't betray our mission. So that's what they require of her. Just don't tell anybody. And then because of that, they make this promise. We will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Isn't that wonderful? Not if the Lord. Nope. These guys are sure. There is no doubt on their part when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window. For the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Yeah, we knew that. Joshua 2:14. It's interesting to me that she just happened to have a rope that was just the right length. to get them outside the city wall and down to the ground. It just makes me wonder if this escape path hasn't been used before by some guy on the run, eh? They tell her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window." Interesting that they kind of add that as a little P.S. Didn't slow her down. Red cord, red light district, not a problem. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window, Joshua 2:21. I love how she did it apparently right away. As soon as she saw their backs heading down the road, she already had that scarlet cord in the window. And this is separate from the rope, the big fat rope that they climbed down. This is a fabric. This is a scarlet cord. She did what she was told to do. I always think of her as kind of a Girl Scout. Be prepared. She was ready. Whenever they came back, that scarlet cord was in place. So the two spies hid in the hills for 3 days. That's what she told them to do. That's what they did. And then they returned home, and they told Joshua all about what had happened. "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands," the two spies said. "All the people are melting in fear because of us." Well, now that's a familiar phrase. Who told them that? Rahab the harlot, their most trustworthy source. All the people are melting in fear. They believe her when she says that. They did not, did you notice, ask for proof of that. If Rahab said they were melting, they were melting. So Joshua 6 now picks up the story in Jericho on the big week. The Lord lays out the battle plan for Jericho. He didn't come up with this. This is God's plan. And it's kind of unusual. He wants 7 priests with 7 trumpets to go forward, and then there's a front guard, and then the Ark of the Covenant, and a rear guard to protect it. And this whole entourage is to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. I wish I knew how big Jericho was, how long it would have taken them to march it. But it couldn't have taken the whole day, because the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. So however long it took, once a day, they marched around the city. And no shouting. Joshua tells them, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. In fact, he says, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout! Exclamation point. So it sounds like they couldn't even talk among themselves. It's just going to be those trumpets. No human voices. Do not say a word. I told you this was exciting. Such drama. And we have the number of perfection, 7, the number of completion, running all through it. We have 7 priests, we have 7 trumpets, and we have 7 days. Rahab is in the house with her extended family, which tells us the house is of some size, waiting. She did not know this plan. She had no idea what was going to be happening. On that first day with the trumpets and the marching, for all they knew at the end of that day, the city would be taken, but it wasn't. Second day, it wasn't. They didn't know the 6-day plus 7-day plan. But she did know that God was in charge. She couldn't possibly know when she was going to get rescued, but she did know that it was going to happen. I think this is our lesson, our takeaway from the story of Rahab. She's such a woman of faith. She's so brave and so bold. But she was also willing just to wait with hope, knowing that God was a trustworthy God. God was a powerful God. God was a God who could part waters, who could destroy kingdoms. This God, she was just going to wait, certain of the salvation promise made by those 2 men, but having no sense of what the details would be. See, you and I want the details. We want to know, how exactly is this going to come down? What day, what time, how much longer do we have to wait? Those are questions we often ask. God is just saying, it's going to happen. Trust me. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak. Perhaps earlier than the other days, we don't know, but they specifically got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. Now imagine you're inside the walls of Jericho. The seventh day, and not one time, but seven times, you're hearing the marching feet and the blaring trumpets, but still no sound of a commander, no shouts of men. When is this going to finally happen? It's going to happen now. Joshua 6:16. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The victory is already confirmed. These men do not need to worry. Is this going to work? Everything going to be okay? Oh, yes. The Lord has given you, it's a finished work, this city. And then this is what blows my mind. In the heat of that moment, on the verge of their victory, of their battle, he remembered their bad girl. And Joshua says, only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. This critical moment, God stopped everything to save this woman. What can God do in our lives? Clearly, anything. He can stop an army to make sure we are saved. So when the trumpets sounded and the walls came tumbling down, Rahab was still standing. You know, so often we name our Christian daughters Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, and they're beautiful names, even if they are, let's be honest, flawed women. But I have yet to meet a young woman named Rahab, and we ought to be going for that, because what a heroine. She is a total demonstration of God's grace. Proof that he can choose anyone and use anyone. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her, and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Because she honored her vow, they honored their vow. And Joshua 6:25 assures us, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. She also lives in the opening lines of the New Testament, right in the lineage of Christ. Matthew 1:5 says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Okay, Boaz, oh, we know him, the good guy, the kinsman redeemer, the husband of Ruth, which means Rahab, had she still been alive, would have been the mother-in-law of Ruth. I just love this. You see, clearly it isn't who you were that matters to God. It's who you are now in him and who you're becoming by his power. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Like Rahab, we gotta toss out that scarlet thread and say, Here I am, Lord. Save me. What a treat to walk through this story with you. A reminder that we have our free printable Bible studies at LizCurtisHiggs.com and MyFaithRadio.com. I offer an encouraging word every morning on Facebook. If you're a Facebook kind of person, you'll find me there, Liz Curtis Higgs, easy to find. But I throw up a scripture and pictures and words of encouragement every single morning. It's all positive. It's all upbeat. It's all Bible. It's all good. I'm so grateful you've been with me. Let's take a moment to talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we look at Rahab's story and we marvel because there was nothing in her background, nothing in her past that would have made us think, now there's a heroine. But Lord, you saw her and you said, she's mine. I will use her for my kingdom. I will use her for my glory. I will put truth on her lips and have her speak that truth to build the courage of my people. I will use her to save not only herself but her own family. I will extend beyond just the one, and I will save the many. Thank you, Lord, that you saved us as well. In Jesus' name.